Hey guys, this is Mike from the Manasai Experiment. So, as some of you may know, I've been celebrating the site's fifth year with various features and giveaways and stuff like that, and the best of which hopefully will be this podcast kind of interview with Jackson and Doc. So back when season 4.1 was on, I contacted Jackson and asked if he wanted to do a written interview. He agreed, and then later actually came back to me, suggesting that he and Doc could just record their answers. Of course, I thought that was a really great idea, so here are the results. My questions were lengthy and numerous, and, well, you'll see. But, hey, it's my first podcast and my first interview, so enjoy.
You start.
Why did we change we changed a lot of characters. Why? What was the reason?
I'm going to read it again to myself.
Okay.
You answer. You.
Because nobody can stay the same forever? I don't know. Because people change? Because we write a television show that has to stay interesting every week?
I'm with you,
right?
On that. Yeah. And plus, we didn't have enough pedophiles on the show. So we had to put those in.
Because we had to make one a main character.
Yeah, because we know
because
much people love
the boards were telling us what they demanded. And
yeah, we get on Mantisai every morning, as we do.
You spoke, America.
Yeah.
More pedophiles and jokes thereof.
God, he's beautiful. He looks like a little white chocolate doll boy.
Technically, his people don't have a gender, and they don't age. They just stay 13 forever.
What, did Henry Darger write this? What the hell kind of movie did you drag me to?
What was the question again? The questions are so long.
It was,
I don't have that kind of...
I know, and it's like a three-part question.
Yeah.
So it's, hey, you guys like continuity.
Yes.
Is that hard to do?
Yes.
All the backstory and the relationships. And do the fans, the hovering fanboys, have any influence over how thorough we are about it?
I thought... The question was about the continuity of our drawing more than the continuity of what our characters do. We blow that constantly. You know, like an extra 21 glove. That's what I thought the question was alluded to.
We know that people catch crap and we become paranoid about continuity. We mess with it, but we've caught mistakes and then we come up with our excuses and those will be our official excuses in public and go, no, we meant that.
On the other gloved hand, people... Also on the boards are convinced of things that we've said a million times are not true. Like that the boys are from Brock's genetic material.
Yeah.
So because of that...
Because we're clever and tricky, and occasionally you in particular will make a joke that is so obviously a joke at a convention panel. Like, yeah, Dr. Girlfriend's the boy's mother.
Yeah, and then
people say that,
it.
And then that gets passed around.
Yeah, or so, I'll make a joke inside of an episode, say that she has a baboon's uterus, when they're two people that were just shooting rumors around.
And then people, that's God's truth.
Yeah,
and then
that's truth, because it came out of a character's mouth.
Yeah, and then people start using it for their weird suppositions.
Does that answer
your
question?
Okay, what do we know? A, she has a baboon's heart.
Uterus.
All right.
With a cast that has a very interconnected past, I wanted to know if that was intentional, or...
Parentheses, for the sake of jokes or something.
I wish it was for the sake of jokes, but it's usually for the sake of our sad little plot. Nerdiness, yeah.
Mm. A little both. I think we knew when we started that everybody would have a history together. We didn't know what it was, but we knew we wanted that kind of show with this fake, I mean...
Thickness.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. The other thing that people assume is because things happen accidentally, that is some sort of bizarre mistake. It isn't. Our writing style is to have things happen organically and without a map. That doesn't make us...
Fakers.
It makes us... That's the way we write. We like to write ourselves into corners. Jackson will write something that is a little off book, and then I pick it up and go, book! It's on book! I have to do it now. That is how our past happened. So that's more of a stylistic choice than it is because we didn't have a Bible when we started.
And also we brought characters to the foreground. Well, that's the next question, actually. Billy and Wait are probably the best examples.
It's hard to come up with names. So if somebody says Nat King Cobra, we're more than happy to show him eventually because it's so hard to name a guy. We're working desperately on G. Gordon Lightfoot. Just because we love the name so much, but we found out that
just Gordon, like Holy Diver.
Yeah, Gordon Lightfoot is just he's impossible to make a cartoon character. And by the time you hear this, you'll see that we failed on him, but we want him so bad.
But yeah, who? All right, so who are some
What is the question?
Some little nobodies who became semi-regular characters. White and Billy are the best examples. 21 and 24.
Hatred.
But Sergeant Hatred.
That was what he gave as an example.
Question. I think anybody else who showed up more everybody. Than once was intended
the monarch,
to be like...
Dr. Girlfriend. Everybody everybody has big
the
parts.
The monarch was going to be semi-one-shot. We were going to throw a lot more villains at you originally.
We didn't?
No, we just made them all the monarch.
I think if we had a list of villains, we'd be impressed with how many villains we have.
Well, and the last part of that question is, were there any characters you introduced with the hope of giving them a bigger part later?
No. I'm going to say no.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I never have a hope of bringing them back later. I'm happy I came up with a funny name.
And Pirate Captain's another good guy who showed up once, and then we were like, we're going to bring him back.
Yeah, but we gave him a big part in the beginning. You know who's a good example of that is the Council of 13 guys. We pulled a couple of them out
yeah.
and with no intention when we wrote it. But that's the question is, giving them a bigger part later,
well, that's like, I would say Baron Underbite might qualify as that. A guy I thought I would use more and then just never found a way to enjoy him.
Can I make a suggestion? Of how to use him better? Pedophile. The answer is all.
He kind of was. I mean, he tried to marry Dean.
Yeah, but I think that was, he thought he was a woman.
Mm-hmm. Does it matter to the law?
Not in Underland.
That didn't win hearts and minds. That's about it. Yeah, no, every once in a while I shank somebody I thought might be cooler for future use, and then you never want to use them again. Or you don't get the voice you want, maybe.
You know what I can do is I can do a super sensitive...
And that includes ones that I've done. So.
A real teary-eyed version of Baron Underbite. That's kind of... That's the playing field I like to throw the ball in. It's a real sensitive take on a character. That might make Baron Underbite... they'll have no clamor
we
for him.
We couldn't get Max von Sydow.
That would be great. Isn't he
that was my
fan?
Dream casting for... Do you remember who we wanted to be the pirate captain?
I remember exactly who it is. Do you want to say it out loud?
Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
He wasn't, like, extra famous yet. He was just on Saturday Night Live.
He would not do it at all.
No.
We didn't even ask him.
No.
We're too ashamed.
Let's just do it straight up pirate.
We don't... Well, there's a lot of questions here.
Okay.
One of the most common issues people had with Season 3 was that the whole thing got more wrapped up in the backstory and history of the series than they would have liked. And I wanted to know if they thought that was a valid complaint.
I didn't do any backstory. I mean, I did, like, super old Guild. Is that really backstory?
Sure.
It was a little scene to inform the present. You did a whole flashback episode.
Right.
Which I think people are taking that one episode and calling it the season.
Did
you do another one? I don't watch the show.
the museum one had some flashbacks in it. And there was, like, maybe one other flashback. Oh, the Quim episode had some flashbacks, but they were kind of brief, and they informed the present-day story. The waveform looks good. Boost the levels in post.
It's going to get...
All right, I'll talk louder.
Talk closer.
I'll talk closer.
What were you talking about?
Backstory.
Oh, yeah, that's a question to
so
you.
I don't know. We get on a jag. I got on a jag. We get on jags.
It's true.
And we hit something a
bunch
of times.
But this one I didn't get it.
You didn't particularly. You did Orb, though, and in a season that had these other flashbacks, it can come across as very flashback-y.
I was trying to create a fake epic scope. And a fake epic scope involves going deeply into the past. But it wasn't to explain backstory. It was to give this device some ludicrous
I don't
power.
Apologize for any of it. I would say maybe they shouldn't have all been in one season. I think I've gone on record saying that. Probably shouldn't have aired the Billy White episode as early in the season as I did, but I think that's a good story.
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with
it. I never complained.
Did we take it into account when writing the fourth season? A little, but only in that...
We did it already.
We did it already, yeah. And every season you go, all right, what didn't we do last year, and what did we do plenty of last year, and let's write accordingly. Okay.
Sorry, Professor Phantomos. I had trouble finding the building.
Yes, yes. It's a great big new world for you.
And Mr. Quizboy, I heard you were recently exonerated, but allow me to impress one thing upon you. We do not tolerate cheating at State University. The punishment is severe.
Since seasons 3 and 4 were greenlit at the same time, I wondered if that had any effect on how they wrote those seasons, since they would have more time to tie up loose ends.
I think they were self-contained.
We try to make every episode relatively self-contained, and then sometimes we open them up so they appear to be epic. If you look at The Orb, it's really a two-episode event that, because it stretches over two seasons, it seems like a long event, but it's a two-episode event that it's introduced as an epic thing, it's closed as a failure, and that's the end of it.
Right. And actually, it was even a one-episode event, and a subplot of that episode became the next episode's story.
Yeah, so sometimes we'll do that, but if you look at it, they're both pretty self-contained.
There's a clear dividing line between the two of them. I think we felt free once, because we got greenlit for two seasons at the same time, we felt free to do whatever the hell we wanted.
Yeah. And
which,
there's also
which was right backstory episode.
There was also a rush, too, because when you jump right into the next season, sometimes in a rush, you open up doors that you shouldn't open, and I don't know, you live with it, and you love it after a while. Everything we do that seems like a mistake, it becomes part of the canon, and we look at it as what we've done. We can't see it as, let's not do that again. I did a lot of door closing in season 4.
Yeah, no, you made it a point to.
Yeah, I did a lot
of
door closing.
And many of those, these people will not have seen yet.
Yeah.
But you did close a bunch even in the first 8.
I think I closed a lot in season
3.
Closed
the orb door.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems to be your goal, actually.
Why? Because I knew we were going to open up more, so I figured let's give them the idea that we're not going to jerk their chain forever and close a lot of stuff, so we can open up more doors, and then these people can watch it. The people can watch it, and then they'll feel like, well, this will be resolved eventually, and they're not just going to string me along as other shows.
I think you did it to shut them up. To shut up the people.
You are,
and their and their conspiracy theories.
You're incorrect.
And you go, nope.
No, sometimes I'll do that.
Yeah.
For Orb, I did. I admit that I closed it almost aggressively.
I think there's an Orb question later.
Yeah, I closed it aggressively.
Yeah.
I was.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Save it.
Okay.
I'm going to save it for the close-up.
I'm going to save it.
Okay.
But I might have to write an episode that Kim loses a limb or her face is horribly disfigured so people can stop asking about her. You know, like something that happened to
me. I almost put her in rehab.
Like a homeroom accident or something. Some high school-based thing.
Huddle up. Okay, review. Muppets.
Relocate the Venture Boys.
Kill them.
Subdue them.
Cut their bellies.
Subdue their bellies. Doctor My Wife.
Locate and seduce.
Subdue. Come on.
Subdue Brock Sims.
And Spin 24.
Locate and subdue the Venture Robot.
Subdue? You can kill the robot. It's a robot. And Spin 21.
What? Dude. So bad, it's backing up into my kidney.
We used to mix it up a little more, but we became much more aware of SAG rules and crap.
Yeah.
And how many voices you can get somebody to do before you have to pay them double for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Also, control freaks.
Mm-hmm.
If you make up a character. And also, a lot of times we make up characters by doing stupid voices around the base. We go, we got to use that for somebody. Or characters create Sergeant Hatred was created that way because we were doing bad washed up Doctor Strange.
I think so. They all come from
part of where
else.
His voice came from.
Yeah.
Budget or direction, and also like James moved to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick's in L.A. Sinter Nicholas, we never know where he is.
He's bi-coastal.
He's bi-coastal now,
apparently.
And so it's not like the old days when like. There were like 4 or 5 of us recording. So many of the recording sessions this year were just the two of us. And just the sad silence between lines and everything. You don't know if you're doing it. One of us is tired.
It's awful.
It's awful.
But we get through. I think the other
thing. But like you feel like you have to get through as much of the script as possible. So you have a bunch of henchmen. You're like, all right, let's bang out those fucking one-line henchmen guys that we're not going to take credit for.
And never get paid for.
Yeah, and then so you don't end up asking James, who records 4 days later over the phone, hey, you want to do a henchman? Because he's already done.
Yeah, well, the other thing that we don't take into account is it's a little Muppety. It's like an ensemble cast.
Mm.
And if you remember the Muppet voices, they all sounded like Frank Oz and Jim Henson. And nobody complained about it because that was what the Muppets were. And our show has a little bit of that quality. Two nobodies in the voice acting world now have voices that people know because we chose that route, that we can deliver our own jokes. Because we are egomaniacs, apparently.
Yeah.
I asked them where they came up with the various voices that they use in the show.
I don't. I suck. I suck so fucking hard at that. Every ethnicity I try is Russian or Yiddish.
Yiddish. You used to slip into Yiddish a lot.
I've had to suffer through German guys, which were so bad they're probably unusable, and because they were Yiddish.
Yeah.
I'm not a good voice guy. I never said I was.
But how do you come up with this terrible voice?
They're all based entirely on my voice, and I'll go, hi, if it's one person, right. Like 21 is me. I just go way higher. And then I'll use my natural voice, but put a on it for Billy, which is really my speaking voice, right? And then I'll just go a little deeper for Dr. Girlfriend. That's it.
Right.
That is my range. You strangle yourself. You've done everything to get a new voice out of it.
I've screamed through a Transformers mask.
Yes. You've done poor impersonations of almost every movie.
Yeah. When we need like nobodies. That's some of the best ones. You just go, all right, name an actor, and I'll do a not great impression of him, and that'll just be a guy.
Yeah, just a guy.
It'll sound convincingly not me.
That's how we come up with them. We have to.
Yeah, and other times it's just, it's me, still a fucking fat kid playing by myself, making up voices.
there's Watchin' Ward, which we were doing an impersonation of those shitty 80s screamy voices.
Oh, right. Like Starscream and stuff.
Yeah. That one doesn't sound like any of my other voices. Where's my Annie for that one?
I put you up.
Motherfucker.
So that's Lady Au Pair.
Dude, get out of here. She's not supposed to see anybody but me.
Really?
No, I'm making that up. Yes, really.
Oh, should I put on my hood?
Forget it. She already saw your face. You might as well stay.
Good.
And what about the voices for the smaller, one-off characters?
Sometimes we just blow them off because we want them to sound really mundane.
Sometimes,
other times we really sculpt.
Sometimes we think that the voice is a one-off, and he ends up becoming Henchman 24.
Right.
So
that's true.
we don't have one-offs anymore.
Henchman 1.
That was you and strangling yourself. That was yourself. The
one when I strangled myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Which you might have used at other henchmen. I think the strangled you.
It was. Oh, he was the guy who went, what do we usually do?
Yeah.
You make some, I'm going to get you Dr. Richer speech, and then, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
And then you specifically wrote a part for that guy.
Because he was great. I didn't realize you had to actually kill yourself to do it. The
just remembering. What a nightmare. What a nightmare.
And then
I lost my
and thought. Then one henchman is an impression of Ken Plume doing an uncredited henchman when he stopped by the studio one day.
Which is that guy without strangling yourself. You know what's funny is that you don't like to do your voice. We've done tracks and we play them back and Jackson goes, well, that sounds like me.
Yeah.
Yet.
I just did me for a character, although I'm cutting his entire scene. So.
What's your name?
Henchman number one.
See? You are nameless.
I'm Scott Hall. My name is Scott Hall. Okay?
Nope. Won't help.
Now it's just pathos. So you're dying in my lap and I'm all, Scott! Scott, don't you quit on us! Don't you dare!
You just made your unavoidable death more pathetic.
As a guest on the best show on WFMU, Jackson mentioned that he disliked working with professional voice actors because of their tendency to be always on. So here's the clip from that.
No, I hate, I'll say it now, I hate voice actors.
Mm-hmm.
James, I don't consider you a voice actor.
Well, that's you're not.
I mean,
it's the only cartoon I've ever done. So.
No, I mean, when we were casting, I specifically wanted people who had never done cartoons before. Because
I was sort of the de facto.
I met some of those people, and they're always on, and they wear Hawaiian shirts, and they're weird. They're all like 50-year-old men who have grown up
in Hawaiian shirts, and whenever they show up at a voiceover session, they're American guys, and they say, "Hello, hello, John, how are you?" They start doing English accents. Uh-huh.
They're the guy you couldn't stand in
they
college
won't,
who
they
kept
won't turn it off.
On. You don't want it.
Like
so, theater guys.
So because of that, I wanted to know if using almost exclusively theater actors had caused any sort of issues for the show as far as actor range and reusability went.
Again, money is a big one. We don't go after...
Is that a question? Wait, is that a backlash question? Like, did your smug remark just piss off all the...
I don't know.
I don't
associate... It's cartoon voice actors, they can be a little too... Like the worst form of theater people sometimes. They can be a little too on, little too wacky. I mean, when we started the show, we specifically didn't want it to sound cartoony. And so we didn't want anybody who had done that before. So.
I'm just going to put you on the spot. I don't give a shit. Okay. Describe what is wacky.
People who think they're Robin Williams. Think of how annoying Robin Williams can be. But he's actually a smart, clever, occasionally man.
He's very
verbal. Incredibly verbal. Imagine a guy who thinks he's that guy, who thinks he's the funniest guy in the room, but it's all shticky,
yeah.
And it's all their improv is like go-to cartoony jokes.
And it's rehearsed, and if you see them three times in person, they'll do at least
that. Now, imagine that guy is an over-tanned 50-year-old who dresses like a 24-year-old comic book artist.
No, but sometimes a little more awkward. Like, they'll have ties that are have a printed comic nature to them.
Right. A lot of Hawaiian prints, be it the shirts or the Converse high tops.
Also, the Hawaiian shirt is, you can let yourself go and still.
But a lot of them are Hawaiian shirts. Super well paid. A lot of the. So they're wearing, like, the most expensive, gaudiest piece of crap silk shirt you've ever seen.
Yeah.
The stupidest shirt that you know costs like $600, and it's dumb. Anyway, we have no casting director. We have no help in this department. We don't know anybody. And so anytime we needed somebody who we didn't want to be us, and that was before we were so brazen to do half the voices, we'd go, hey, James, who do you know who can do a Max von Sydow kind of thing? And he would recommend a couple people he had been in theater with.
Yeah. He was an up-to-down staircase with him somewhere off Broadway.
So that's how we came across so many
We were giving away so much information. We should have answered it like this. Well, theater is the true form of the art. And the pollution of Hollywood actors and their wretched Gilmore Girl-inspired repartee. We wanted nothing to do with that. So we went right to the roots. We went back to New York Theater.
We went to Roots. We rented Roots.
We rented
Roots. And we tried to find everybody who was in it.
Yeah, and none of them were available. And some of them are really super famous now, like Jordy.
And John Amos.
Yeah, we couldn't get any of them. So what we did is we got James, his friends.
I was also curious what went into the decision to hire new actors such as Kevin Conroy and Toby Huss for season 4.2.
I had both of them in mind, I think. I mean, I think we knew right away, oh, we got to try to get Batman.
Yeah, that was cool. And also, if you have access to a Toby Huss, you use Toby Huss.
Yeah.
It was really based on access.
James knows him, too, but I've been a fan of Toby Huss's work since he did interstitials for MTV in the early 90s. But how do we decide if character needs a new actor to play him? It depends on what we have in our heads, I guess. And also, time. Again, no casting director, so sometimes we think of somebody cool and we try to ask them, we try to track them down, and we either don't hear anything or they say no. And then we have to record the thing because I got to make an animatic like that week.
All right, next question.
I don't know.
You may be invulnerable, Monarch, but no one is invulnerable to justice. I'm going to make you pay for what you did to Wonder Boy once and for all.
Have you guys ever wondered what Jackson and Doc would do if they had more money to devote to the show?
I get the answer right here. Nothing, and we pocket all that money. Spend it on whores and blow.
Pool table.
And pool table.
For the Astrobase.
Yeah. Nothing.
The show's fine. I guess it would depend.
Show's fine.
No, but does...
It's fine! We change nothing. We take all that money and we just spend it on crap we don't need.
I need
What about all the bobbleheads?
I need clarity.
Are we
talking about, hey, Adult Swim's just going to give you Seth MacFarlane money?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you talking about, okay, you're now a primetime show? Because we would have to change some things to be the kind of show that people give you that much money for, which we probably wouldn't want to do. But I would make the animation better.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And I would get pop songs on the soundtrack.
Also great. Yeah, better music. No, our music is great, but every once in a while we write a scene that should have Hungry Like the Wolf, and it has not Hungry Like the Wolf.
Has Kungry Like the Wolf.
Yeah, Kungry Like the Wolf. Oh, it's so embarrassing. But anything we come up with, it'd be nice to have somebody to do it.
Oh, and more time. I would just spend more time making it.
Is money equal time?
Yes.
The question.
We go over by like 2 days, and like we can't have a background because there's no money to pay a background artist anymore. And he went home.
I would say I still stick to my previous answer, which is change nothing and take all that money and spend it on boats,
mm-hmm.
and pool tables.
And 14-year-old girlfriends who love boats.
Yeah, 14-year-old boat-loving pool table girlfriends. Also, we could get super addicted to some sort of controlled substance and then show up on like VH1.
You won't even take ginkgo biloba.
I won't take aspirin. But I'm talking about if we had Seth MacFarlane money, I would get myself addicted to probably ginkgo. Right. Bilobo. Or I'd have an aloe.
I can't kick the ginkgo.
I can't kick the aloe vera. That's what I would get addicted to.
I'm chafing. I just feel I'm chafing everywhere,
man. Yeah, but whatever it takes, man. Yeah.
Oh, then your baby's running around in the street.
Yeah. I'm giving the baby to people to hold, kind of thing, and then like running away because I'm in such an aloe Jones because my hands are extra dry.
Moving on to production stuff, I wanted to know how much direction storyboarders were given.
They get a lot to begin with, and then they're reined in.
I talk to them on the phone. Sometimes I do sketch it. Like when I write, sometimes I'll have really specific stuff in mind about how something should be shot, and if I'm smart enough, I doodle it, and I remember to give it to the storyboard artist. Pretty much they're on their own, and then they turn in their roughs, and then I go to town and go, no, do it like I had it in my head.
Yeah.
Why didn't you know that?
Read my mind.
So it's pretty much do it better than my head or put it the way it is in my head. And then we get revision artists to put it the way it is in my head.
And how do they deal with badly animated stuff?
It happens less and less every season. We've gotten better at pre-production, and Korea's gotten better at following our stuff.
I don't know. The first time I saw The Better Man, I wept openly. Openly.
But we do get to revise it. Kind of depends on whose fault it is, whether or not the overseas studio followed what we did or we explained it enough. We have a little bit of money for retakes, so when it's really crushingly disappointing, we can usually fix it. Otherwise, we just kind of deal with it.
That question is a negative Nancy. Let's move on to a more happy.
With the two of them being involved in almost every stage of the show's production, I wanted to know how many hours they put into it on a daily basis.
18?
That's bad. I would say on an average, 10 to 14, 7 days a week. Like, no joke. Maybe I'll get a day off on a weekend once a month.
I don't remember those.
Yeah. And then a couple of all-nighters in there.
It's way more than we ever thought we would have to put in. Yeah, our lives are gone.
Yeah.
We gave them to the Venture Brothers. Hope you people like it. You know what I like?
Answered questions?
I like writing about pedophiles. And then hearing people hate our attempt at making something terrible and uncomfortable and, frankly, wrong, entertaining.
I think we're going to get to that. You know that's going to be a question. Yep, and now I see Sergeant Hatred further
down. All right. Well, what's your favorite part?
Making stuff up.
When writing goes well, it's fun.
Yeah.
When it doesn't go well, it's a nightmare.
And everything else is trying to get everything to be like it was in your head when you were writing it, when you had a really good day once. But
sometimes recording is fun.
Recording can be fun. Working at the studio can be fun.
Every process is either, it can be really fun or just drudgery.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that's like life, isn't it? Yeah.
So, convention questions. One of my all-time favorites is from New York Comic Con in 2008. I'm going to play that for you right now.
Will we ever see the return of Roy Brisby and or Brisby World?
Oh. Why?
He's David Bowie's arch nemesis. He stole his panda. He needs revenge.
Hey, David Bowie's a lot of arch nemesis.
I see a couple of photographs of him.
This season.
I don't know. Maybe, probably season 4. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
On a spin-off film.
No, I think we'll do it.
I want to see Brisby
again. I think when we decide, we're going to have everybody.
Brisby just comes shooting out of a cannon. He just lights his dead legs on fire and shoots himself.
Held by a dual 45.
Yeah.
I actually brought Roy Brisby back. in a cameo.
Nice going. Nice going. You smug, you smart-ass bastard. Tell this guy why, and then the next thing you know, you're back.
You got that to look forward to, the back eight. Do we get a... Yeah, silly question. I mean, I loved when somebody asked us about Helen Keller.
A mistake.
And Anne Frank.
A mistake. They got the actual riff in the show wrong, and they gave us an opportunity to yell at each other.
I thought a much better matchup, though. But we won't get into that again, because we argue about it every time.
We're not settled.
So, sure, we get a kick out of those kinds of silly questions.
I like the
matchup. No, wait, no, that's a different kind of silly questions. No, some of them can be... you can only get asked about Kim so many times before you go, really?
I don't mind any question we get at a panel. They got to get up and stand in line.
Yeah.
And some of them are in really uncomfortable cardboard costumes. So by the time they get up to that mic, you know their rehearsed question has just gone to shit. So what they say is, I'll answer any question. I got no problem with it. Doing a convention is totally different than anything else in your regular life. So when a weird question comes up, you field it.
So any really ridiculous ones that stick out to you?
No, I forget this.
All right.
Like an avuncular rape. I just try to put it out of my head. Like it happened.
Hey, guys. Will we ever learn what happened?
I'm backing away from will we questions.
I'm
backing away.
That's the one kind of question.
I'm way over here.
That's the one kind of question we don't like at a convention.
Yeah, will we questions.
The one's like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, you watch that's why there was a show.
Yeah, so that's it.
I've always been curious if the intent of Orb was to actually make fun of people who tend to take a series too seriously. It's always come across to me as a kind of parody of people who take the series and its quote-unquote hidden meanings too far, and then it ended up creating this extra layer to the universe that almost caused kind of what it seemed to be talking about.
No.
Well, the point wasn't to goof on them.
Yeah, the point, but we're playing with how stories are written and told on television and in action novels and stuff, and I think everybody got it. If you were pissed off that the Orb didn't turn out to be the coolest thing in the world, you got it. And if you were not pissed off and thought it was funny that it was just like everything else in the show, kind of junk, then you got it.
He's talking about the first episode there, though.
What?
Orb episode, because the follow-up question is the Revenge Society question. And then in the Revenge Society, you basically completely nullify the Orb. For me, it was one of my favorite things ever done in the show, but some people were upset and felt you missed out on some kind of potential there. Do you think it could have worked another way? Of course it could have. It still could. We never stop having to write this show. It could come back. I'm not saying it will, but the whole point was to get rid of it, because the last thing we want is an anime
style
multi-episode plotline about a fantastic device.
Yeah, you could play with that
what
for
a
an episode or two.
For a comedy show.
Yeah, you play with that for an episode or two, but you have to end it in its comedic fashion. And
don't forget,
move on.
Make fun of those shows. That's what we do. Mm. That's our whole point, is to make fun of conventions.
And when you parody things, you have to buy into it a little bit. Right. And it had that sense of action, and you weren't a fool for feeling the action and getting inside of the epic scope of it. But it dissipates. That's what we do.
Follow-up question, was that planned in advance?
It wasn't thrown out in advance.
No, but it was... But the minute you finished that script, we thought...
Oh, we got to bust it.
We thought of the same busted it.
We got to bust it immediately.
Yeah.
And, of course, I had to ask about Sergeant Hatred, who had become this incredibly controversial character over the course of Season 4. He probably generated more complaints than any other single element, and I wanted to know if that was the reaction they had expected.
I expected a worse reaction, because it is it's a very ugly topic.
I think we expected people to actually be mad that we made jokes about that.
Yeah, it's
we didn't expect them to go, I'm so freaking sick of this character. And it's pedophilia. But I don't think we hammered it as much as they... I think because it makes people uncomfortable...
Every time we talk about it, it's a hammer.
They're aware of every single instance of it. We don't say it any more than we say Dr. Venture is a scientist or Orpheus is a magician.
But I go out of my way to explain it. I think my whole egg, fragile... Like, he understands that what he's doing is wrong. It's a different take on pedophilia. We're not trying to say... pedophilia is hilarious. We're saying this is a problem that exists, and this character has this condition. He is an addict.
And what we're saying is problems are hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that dealing
with them.
Yeah, the fact that this guy is now in charge of boys, that's a terrible predicament, and it's funny to us.
That's ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to push the envelope every once in a while. You got to do something that a few people will go, hey, that's too far.
Which episode is
you know
your
what
favorite?
I didn't expect? What? I'm just going to jump in
okay,
there.
Okay, no, go ahead.
People complain about the voice. I love the fucking Sergeant Hazen voice. People complain about the voice.
Well, he's loud and overbearing, and he can get on your nerves after a while.
I think
and
it's
like,
funny.
We purposely chew on every word with him.
I think it's funny.
We edit so many...
Yeah.
Like every line is full of those, and we edit half of them out because it takes them forever to say everything.
Yeah, a lot of, well, it drives people nuts.
Yeah.
You know why?
We do the voice to each other all the time.
Because that is one of the most ticked on voices. People don't want a pedophiliac to talk that long. They want him to get in, say his piece, and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be so brazen.
How dare you take up airtime?
Yeah, how dare you talk so much?
Disease.
That's okay.
Jackson and Doc's favorite episodes?
I can tell you.
Hate everyone. Like, every one of them is a disappointment.
I have my favorite episodes that I didn't write because they're easier to look at I like your therapy one. Whatever the fuck that's
I'm
called.
Proud of that one.
That's really
That's
funny.
My favorite one I wrote this season. Revenge Society is my favorite of yours.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I got my jag on the back end, or what aired as the back end. I think the Orpheus episode. I don't know the names of our episodes because we named them like right before we ship.
The Better Man.
Yeah, The Better Man. That one. I guess I could have pulled that out. Yeah, I like those two episodes a lot. Although, admittedly, the one where Brock comes back, Chip Chitty Chatty.
It is
so talky.
It's a short episode.
Yeah.
That's Chitty. Full of long scenes of talking.
Yeah.
The fight was good.
I wish the fight took
I wish
up
the
more
fight
time.
Went on for a minute and a half.
That's what happens when you get 24 minutes to tell a story and you got a bunch of jerks sitting around a table explaining Sphinx.
Sphinx!
Sphinx!
Yeah, other than that, I can't really answer. I just know which ones I really liked writing, and they're almost never anybody's favorites.
Oh, I had no fun writing anything. You had a good time?
I had a good not this year.
I had a
really good time at the beginning of season 2 and the beginning of season 3.
The Sargasso one. That was such like a problem. It was kind of fun because it was such a problem.
Right.
That one I enjoyed.
That's because you weren't on the phone with Lazo when he read the first draft.
He was wrong.
When you were like about to quit.
Yeah, I know. Because
exhausted.
I,
like,
yeah, I love
we
that
did
episode.
It. We got it. We finally...
Yeah.
Thank God Doc really came through because I shanked my half of the script and... Isn't it good? I think you guys should just scrap it and start over.
But a beloved episode.
Beloved episode. No, but we knew it was good.
Yeah.
We stood by that one, and Lazo later admitted it. It became his favorite.
Yeah, see? That was one, I think we, that,
and that's the day he started trusting it. We haven't gotten a note since then.
Yeah. That episode, because we loved an episode and they didn't like an episode, and it ended up being good, that gave us freedom. Look what we've done with it, pedophile.
Who would win in a fight between Sergeant Hatred and Brock?
Brock, please. It's ridiculous.
And the big question on the minds of most fans is, what does the future hold for the show after season 4 is done?
We don't know yet. We'll see something after season 4.
Don't depress the fans.
What? No, there will be more Venture Brothers after season 4. We don't know if it'll be a full season or
how we're going
right
to
away, or right. We'll do specials or some kind of longer thing, or
right, or the Helper spinoff that we've been talking about.
Dick around with spin, yeah, the Helper snowsuit spinoff. We need a little break.
Who would win in a fight, Brock or Billy? Billy's got the mechanical hand. He's got he's low to the ground, which means he's got less of a distance to fall. He's got that enormous head. You get cocoa butted by a Billy head, and that is the end of that.
It's true.
You're seeing stars. And Brock now has the giant, watery eyes.
What about Billy versus Yoda?
With the lightsaber?
No.
Just hand on hand?
Yeah.
What Yoda are we talking about?
The flipping around one that fought Dracula.
Because I bet the puppet Yoda, the Frank Oz up the ass of Yoda, that Billy could kick that thing's ass. And I'll tell you why. Limited mobility.
Yeah, but I think Frank Oz has a well of anger inside him.
So just if Frank Oz starts punching you with a puppet on.
Like if you had Marlon Brando
off
the sides, like insulting Frank Oz the whole time and like poking him. Like he's his corner man.
Right. What does Billy Oz got? Did he have a longstanding fight with Marlon Brando that I'm not aware of? They hated each other?
I Marlon Brando, I don't know, kept goofing on him in that heist movie.
Really?
Whatever the hell that was called.
Okay, then you have Marlon Brando, like a plump, semi-drunk Marlon Brando yelling at Frank Oz. Yes,
came back from the dead just to yell at Frank Oz.
Right.
To tell him he still is Miss Piggy. I think he called him Miss Piggy on the set.
Okay, so Frank Oz is totally pissed off. I'm going to give it to Frank Oz with a puppet on his hand.
Yeah.
He's old, though. Like, I don't think a guy like that could probably break a hip immediately.
No.
Flipping Yoda.
Yeah. This is like screaming, flipping.
CGI Yoda.
Yeah, pinwheeling Yoda.
Now, Billy, he has a fake laser hand that he could probably keep Yoda at bay with the fake laser hand, but just threatening a blast from his laser hand.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. We write that fight, though, and that's my favorite episode.
The Yoda versus Billy.
Yeah.
We can't do that because we don't have rights to Yoda.
Shit.
We know what we could write? Oda. And if, say, he were exactly the same but orange, I don't think anybody would know. That would go right past the people.
No, we can write Yoda if there's commentary about Yoda. Doesn't Yoda show up in, like, every episode of Family Guy?
You are getting into a territory I don't understand.
And finally, I asked what the future holds for Jackson and Doc after they're done with the Venture Brothers.
I don't know yet.
We have Jackson and I want to go on a jungle trek through the kind of insect-infested jungle regions of, let's say, South America. See if we can catch ourselves a malaria, dysentery. Dysentery would be fucking amazing.
Some sort of snake bite disease.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. We're going to start a helicopter farm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going to... we have the talk show.
Yeah. Let's All Smoking.
Let's All Smoking. That's going to premiere next year. You've invested heavily in the Condiment Hive.
The Condiment Hive, if somebody opens up a place called, like, Just Bread, I'm going to have a place that just sells spreads. You have to bring in your own bread, and you can get, what kind of spread do you like? Do you like Nutella? Would you like a jam or a jelly? Do you like preserves?
Maybe, sometimes.
How about just a little bit of mayo?
Just on the bread?
Is Cool Whip a spread?
What about a wasabi mayo?
I got it.
Okay.
Just bring your own bread, or I can give it to you on the hand. There's also Just Tobacco, where you have to come in with a piece of rolling paper, and you can roll a cigarette from just any region. Do you like a Turkish?
Too bitter.
How about a Virginian?
Oh, yeah.
Would you like it toasted?
Mildly.
Can I recommend this? See? That's how those two places will work. So we're thinking of getting into the mall kiosk, hopefully. And also we'll use our venture clout.
Yeah.
Which will be like, Hank smokes a blonde, untoasted Virginian. And also, what's Brock's favorite spread?
Right.
Yeah. And, it'll constantly be going against characters that we don't have the rights to. So we'll be in lawsuits.
Like Shirt Club.
Yeah, like Shirt Club. We have no problem breaking any contract we've ever signed for about a week. That's how we do that.
So that's it. I hope we all answered your questions.
That was
Mike from Mantis Eye.
Should we give a shout out to all the Mantis Eye readers?
Yeah, hey, happy 5th anniversary. That's what this is all about.
Thanks for giving web presence to something that we just don't give web presence to. Thanks for being better than our site that we put online middle of season one and then forgot about.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. You just got a message.
I did.
Is it important?
No. Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
There's a lot.
There's a lot of reasons.
Well, one arc, like...
Wait.
Okay, yeah.
What does that sound? I love that.
That's...
There we go.
Cigarettes.
Yeah.
But season starting season two, our team improved. And then season three, we got an entirely new team. Chris Fisher, Deo, Liz Artinian. What?
I'm falling asleep. Move on. There's pages of
you
this baloney.
You get disinterested when it's not something you can riff on. When it's a specific technical question.
Yes! I admit to that.
Why don't you just roll your cigarette?
I'm going to roll
borrow
a cigarette.
Borrow one of my... Have you ever gotten anything back from the animation studio?
You have a new voice when you read. It's like a new, excited voice.
I'm trying to be, you know.
You bring it right back up.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes to all your questions.
Yeah. I can read, just Doc had his arm over the piece of paper.
I'm making a cigarette.
It's a typo, it says budgies. But, I know what he meant.
Do every question, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I'm getting tired. It's hot in here. It's like winter and they got the heat on. It's
all right.
So dry.
Season one, if you watch the pilot.
Was that an hour?
I don't know. You get a little time code on here?